Well, hello everyone. We're glad that you are joining us for our summer series for Gather, and we are doing a summer series called Great News.
Right.
And you probably have heard of John Krasinski's Some Good News, and we thought, hey, there's even better news. It's great news, right, Reagan?
Yeah, great news.
Reagan is one of our leaders, and he is going to be sharing, just like he'd be sharing in his community group, in his living room, talking with you about what God is teaching him from the Word, and then I'm going to ask him some really tough questions and watch him sweat bullets. No, I won't do that.
Yeah, we're not going to do that?
No.
Mild questions?
Yes, mild. Right. So what I thought we'd do is kick it over to Reagan, and he's going to share, here's what God's teaching me, and then we'll talk about it. So Reagan, take it away.
Well, thanks. So I was driving around the other day, and trying to find a Starbucks or any coffee shop that was actually
open.
We're
not necessarily promoting Starbucks.
Not promoting Starbucks. Any coffee shop that was open, because there's so many of them that are not open still. And I ran across some signs in yards that said, hope wasn't canceled. And immediately in my brain, I went, that's great news. Mm-hmm. That's something that I need to hear. And I'm willing to bet I'm not the only one that needs to hear that. Mm-hmm. So immediately my brain went to Romans 5, 1 through 5. Because it has some great stuff, I think, to talk about with hope, in particular with some, like, hard times, how to have hope in that. So I'm just going to read that real quick. It says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So, first thing is I had to figure out, like, when we say what is hope, like, what does that actually mean? And I had to think about that. And I think what it came down to was hope is the answer you give to the question of, is everything okay? And you kind of want to say, hey, everything's going to be okay so long as dot, dot, dot. And what you put your hope in is the thing that you put fill into that dot, 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 right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you can do hope into a whole lot of things. You can say, if I have this, everything's going to be okay. If I have this job, everything's okay. Have this relationship, everything's okay. But this passage, I think, is defining hope very specifically. Mm. And what I think is really good, the verse starts and it ends with talking about our relationship with God. So it starts with talking about the grace in which we now stand, that we've been justified by faith. It ends by talking about the love of God that's being poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. So, like, we have the Father, Son, Holy Ghost all wrapped around this thing. And so it's really defining that the hope that this passage is talking about, this hope that lasts, is entirely founded upon our relationship with God, which our relationship with God is because of God's own grace. It's not because of us. Like, I have a relationship with God not because I'm really good. It's, in fact, in spite of that. You know, I am loved completely. And there's nothing I'm going to do that's going to make God love me anymore. Mm-hmm. Nothing I'm going to do that's going to make him love me any less.
Yeah.
It's entirely based on his grace. And when I can rest in that, that's beyond great news. That's the best news we can tell somebody. Mm-hmm. And so if our hope is based on that, I think that's what this verse is talking about. And I love how in verse 5 it specifically talks about this hope that is produced by suffering and character. This hope from the gospel does not put to shame. Mm. And there's been a lot of things I've hoped in, honestly, that have put me to shame. Mm-hmm. And I think when I say that, I think I'm not the only one. I bet there's a lot of people out there that are something popped in your brain that thought, yeah, I hoped in that, and I was put to shame because of it. It failed. It didn't work out. It wasn't what you thought when you got it, or it turned out being a lot worse, or took a lot from you. And I have that too. Like, I can think about those things. But this is the hope here. When our hope is in the gospel, when our hope is in our relationship with God, this is a God that does not fail, that always loves, that never gives up on us, even when we might want to give up on ourselves. Yeah. And that's a hope that's never going to put us to shame. And so
I think that's
really good news.
Yeah, I noticed that too. The signs say hope is not canceled, right?
Yeah.
And I saw those all over our neighborhood, and I thought that's a really good word for us when the scripture talks about hope that doesn't disappoint, right? So I want to ask you a couple questions with this, because every time you look at the scripture, you want to ask yourself, as you observe it and you interpret it, you want to ask yourself, so what? So what's the application for me? And so I want you to unpack this a little bit, because we can talk about hope. And I love how you said hope in the dot, 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 whatever those things are that you've tried to find hope in. So what are some of those things for you specifically? You gave examples, but how about for you? What comes to mind, something that you were tempted to find your hope in and it put you to shame?
Yeah. So one of the easiest ones for me, one of my struggles happens to be codependency. And so a lot of my fill in the dot, dot, dot was relationships, particularly a romantic relationship, dating relationship. Sometimes that was with friendships. I would put my hope in that, like, as long as I have this friend, as long as I have this girlfriend, I'm okay.
Right.
And then something would fail and it wouldn't work out. Sometimes it was the job, like whatever job I had. Hey, as long as I got this job that's paying me well, everything's going to be okay. And, you know, sometimes you'd lose a job or you get laid off or something like that too.
Yeah.
But I've had those. Yeah.
So those can be things that along the way, a job can be disappointing. Mm-hmm. A job cannot go quite as great as that. You could lose a job. Relationships can come and go. Mm-hmm. That can be hard. And so if you find your hope in that, those are things that can be fleeting.
Right.
Right? Okay, so second question. That's a great answer. What was an example for you of where it talked about enduring, right? The endurance that produces character. Mm-hmm. And so what are some of the things even now, even in this season, that you would say, man, enduring's been hard. Give us an example. Give us a picture of that for you.
So kind of coming into this whole, you know, shelter in place, COVID situation.
I hadn't heard about it.
You hadn't heard about that? Oh, wow. You've just been walking around.
Just kidding.
You walked into a restaurant going, why is nobody here?
Yeah.
you know, I had a little bit of some lead into it, unfortunately. My brother, probably at the end of February, had to have heart surgery.
Yep.
And originally we thought this is an issue with a valve, and we thought it was going to be like a little 2-inch incision or something like that. And we thought it was going to be day surgery. And then the surgeon kind of came back and said, no, we're actually going to cut him completely open, full open heart surgery. Next thing I knew, I'm having to talk to my bosses like, hey, I don't know how much I'm going to be in the office. And is it okay if I work from home? And that's funny now.
And you work at a pretty bad place.
I work here.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Okay. but, you know, it was a tough conversation. I had to tell people and ask people to pray for me and pray for my brother. Because also coming out of that, once we got him home, he's my roommate as well.
Yeah.
And I was going to be a caregiver for a while.
That was a little change of pace.
That was a huge change of pace. and just taking care of him when we got back and doing everything for him for a little while. And then right when he was starting to get good and things were like, hey, I think I could maybe start going back to the office a little more often, we got told to shelter in place. Man. And I was joking about it beforehand, like, oh, yeah, they're going to say shelter in place. And sure enough, they did. And so now suddenly it was a longer term.
Yeah, so your original shelter in place became shelter in place.
You're really stuck there. You don't have a choice.
Man.
And I remember there was one day that I would just, I got frustrated. I was out driving around. I think I was grabbing groceries or something like that. And I just couldn't shake the thought. I just kept thinking in my head, I want my life back. Like, I had this great life before my brother went into surgery and before this whole pandemic started. And I didn't do, there wasn't anything I had done that had caused this.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't have a problem with my heart. I didn't get a, you know, disease or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And I felt really like, I'm frustrated. I want my life back. And I'm sitting, I just parked back at the apartment and I'm in my car and I'm just, I don't want to go upstairs. I don't want to go into my apartment. And I'm actually literally screaming in my car. I am so frustrated and angry.
Did anybody come by and notice that?
No, thankfully I looked around first before, because that's just
and just let it out.
Yeah, just let it out.
Yeah.
And in that moment, I realized, like, you know, the answer is not going to come from anything outside. I mean, God has been the answer. He's going to stay the answer. Mm-hmm. And I started looking at what has God provided me to help me with this, and immediately it went to my community group guys.
Yeah.
So I just pulled out my phone, got on the group meeting, and just goes, guys, I'm having a bad day. I literally was screaming in my car. I'm so frustrated. I want my life back. It did not take long for my guys to chime back in with going, hey, we're there too. you're not alone.
Yeah.
Here's some verses. Here's some things. Just really encouraging and reminding me of that.
So I'm thinking about that for a lot of people listening, and they're going, you actually told some people that really know you and care about you, said, hey, look, let me just tell you how bad it got. I'm out screaming in my car. That's not something you usually tell people.
Yeah.
And I love that you did that. Your vulnerability and what it led to was what? Them connecting with you, encouraging you. What else? I mean, did they just say, hey, we're praying for you? That kind
of thing? Yeah, it was, we're praying for you. I think one of them at least called me later that day. I was like, hey, what's going on? How are you? Some of them even got to, like, just, we got to kind of joke around about what we're frustrated about. Yeah. The little things, like, the last movie I went and saw was Sonic the Hedgehog. I hate to admit that.
Which, anybody saying that, that's
I don't recommend it, people. I don't recommend it.
That's if you've seen Sonic the Hedgehog, that was your last movie.
I'm sorry.
You have to sit with that.
I have to sit with that. Jim Carrey chasing around a little blue CGI hedgehog. It's awful.
Oh, my goodness. So I love your vulnerability. I hope others out there would say, man, I can do that with people. There are people who know me. There's people in my community group that I could call, text, ask to pray for me. That's a big part of it, isn't it? Asking people to help. And also turning to the Lord, turning to the Spirit, turning to the Word, all the provision that God's given us. Yeah. So I love that. All right, last question. In this hard time, how have you seen God's faithfulness in the past, and it helped you as you face these things that you're facing now?
Yeah. So being in the middle of this thing, and which has been a hard time, I know for other people too, but this was, for me, this was tough.
Yeah.
Hey, people,
your voice just went away.
Yeah. For other people, I know this is tougher. I know what I talk about is so minor for some people. But in my life, I looked at a previous time in my life. So there was about a 3-year period where, and this is going to sound like a country music song, just going to let you know. my dog died. Literally, dog died.
I've heard that song.
I was a youth pastor at the time, and
I heard that in
got
music.
Fired. Got fired from being a youth pastor. Girlfriend broke up with me. My parents actually lost their house. I was living with my parents at the time. Wow. I was still in college. Their house was foreclosed on. My car got totaled.
Man.
Tried going back with tried dating another girl, and she broke up with me too. And so it was just a lot of really bad things happening in a very short amount of time. Yeah. And I would love to tell you that I turned to God in that moment. I didn't. What I did was, again, I filled in that ... with the first girl.
Right.
And I was like, if I have her, like she and I were starting to reconnect, I'm like, if I have her, everything's okay.
Yeah.
And thankfully, I mean, that ended. I mean, unfortunately, it took a lot more out of me than I wanted. That relationship took a lot more from me than I ever would have thought it would have.
Yeah.
It was not a healthy relationship. And because of that, God kind of brought me kind of to rock bottom, to where it was like, okay, I've got, this is where my answer is going to be. It's going to be back to this God that still loves me, still is reaching out for me, has not given up on me. And I still look back at that. Even when I'm sitting there in that car, I'm going, I know from what I've seen before, the answer is not going to be in anything else. It's got to be with God and the people God has put in my life that are healthy for me.
So the answer is not going to be in the ...
Yeah, the answer, well, as long as God's in the ... it's good. Right. If there's anything else but that, then it's not
healthy.
That's
good. That's good. So in this case, remembering when you turned to other things and where it left you.
Yeah.
It left you wanting.
It left me put to shame.
It reminds me of the prodigal son, when he's eating pig slop. He's in that pen, he's going, man, I'm eating this. And he remembered what it was like at the father's table, and he runs home.
My father's servants eat way better than I do.
Yes. and it says, well, it's just that great line, it says, and he comes to his senses, and he runs for home.
Yeah.
And so for you, you realize when I didn't run home, when I'm settling for the pig slop of the world, it never satisfied. And so part of what you're learning and what you're relying on now is you're going, man, I'm not going to turn to those things other than God because it's always going to leave me thirsty, hungry. I won't find rest there.
Right.
And that's what Jesus said, right?
Exactly.
He said he's all those things. He's living water. When you're hungry, he's the bread of life. When you need rest, he'll be that for you.
Yep.
And so such a great thing for us to think about in our, starting off our summer series. I love, Reagan, how vulnerable you've been And that's a hard word for me to say for some reason.
Almost as hard as Krasinski, I found.
Yes. But we're really glad that you're with us, and we hope this will lead you to a great discussion about what's the ... for you right now. Are you finding your trust in God? You're finding your rest in Him, your peace with God that this Romans 5 talks about? Or are you trying to find it in everything else? And so hope you guys have a great table discussion right now, and we're really glad that you joined us.